Earth and Sky.
Welcome to Clear Voices. I'm Jorge Salazar. Marcus Garry was a commercial diver when he first encountered El Zacatón, Earth's deepest water-filled sinkhole. The mystery and beauty he found beneath the surface launched his ambition to become a scientist. Garry is now close to getting his PhD in geosciences, and all the while he's been returning to El Zacatón to study and understand it. His last trip drew together robotics engineers, microbiologists, and NASA scientists to finally reach the elusive bottom of the sinkhole with the help of a very advanced robot called Depth X. Garry said the most difficult part of his job there was figuring out how to feed all the media the project had attracted. Earth and Sky's Lindsay Patterson spoke with Marcus Garry at the Jackson School of Geosciences at the University of Texas just 5 days after he returned home from El Zacatón.
In 1994, I was a team member of a deep cave diving expedition that was trying to reach the bottom of Zacatón with Jim Bowden and Sheck Exley. And Sheck Exley was the pioneer of cave diving and held all previous deep cave diving records until that day. And then he died in Zacatón in 1994. Jim Bowden broke a world record, and he made it to 289 meters, which, as we know now, is about 20 meters short of seeing the bottom. So from that point, we always wanted to explore the system, but it was beyond the limits of human exploration. I was not a scientist back then. I was a commercial diver and a technician working on this deep cave diving expedition. But then in the years following that, as I continued to explore these caves at System of Zacatón and dive in them, and see these, spectacular biological communities, and wondering how deep the caves went, and what did they look like underwater? They're so immense that you can't reference, walls. I mean, you see a little area in front of you, and you can't envision the whole thing. So, and also the curiosity as to why the water chemistry was so unique and different there. So all these questions, as I'm, from the untrained, I just pushed my curiosity. And then finally I'm like, well, nobody knows anything about this system. Nobody's studying it. It's completely unknown to science. So I'm going to go to college and become a scientist. And so in 1998, that's what I did. And that's really brought me through, full circle nearly 10 years later, and finishing up a PhD and spending so much time and studying this, and really been fortunate to have become involved with this team of experts, of scientists and engineers and computer programmers that could put together something like this to explore a place that I found so intriguing for so long. So it's been an amazing experience to be a part of.
So it was like El Zacatón was really the starting point for you and your total curiosity about science.
Definitely, that was the starting point. I mean, that was my motivation. And I remember clearly when I was beginning college here at UT, I was actually an engineering student. And then I took a class in geology. And I was like, wow, people actually study, places like Zacatón and try to figure out how they formed and what was involved. I'm like, that's what I'm going to do. Then the next day, I went over and started the paperwork to change my major to hydrogeology. And then, every class I would take, every lecture, any discussion that was going on, I would say, well, how would this relate to Zacatón? And, most of the time it didn't relate at all, but often enough there were, lectures or concepts that were being discussed, and I was always trying to apply that to how that, fit into the geologic system that formed these caves and everything about them. So it's really been a desire and a passion of mine that I'm sure will stay with me the rest of my life. Because, it just keeps going to more levels as we discover more things.
So can you describe what it looked like when you first saw El Zacatón? What kind of impression did that make on you?
It's just, an amazing to walk up through the Tamaulipas thorn forest, and you're on this plateau of rock with thorny bushes and cacti and you know, stinging bugs everywhere, and then you just walk across the lip and you see this huge, you know, arena of water below you with these floating grass islands that just kind of, you know, meander about on the surface of the water. And you know, it's just like, wow, what a spectacular place. And it's, you know, it's the immensity of it is it's just astounding. And that's not even thinking about what's going on below the water surface. And then once you dive into the water, it's just overwhelming. The reds and the greens and the spectacular colors and the clouds of sulfur that are, you know, wisping in the water, that, you know, are just really an amazing, amazing scenery. And it's never the same. You know, every day it's always something different. And you can go into the place, you know, 1,000 times and see something different, you know, the next time you go in.
Can you describe how big it is? Like, give some kind of an idea?
So it would be kind of like going into a professional football stadium and taking the size of the football field and making it a little bit more round but the same length, and then just extending it down, you know, 1,000 feet. So you could fit the tallest skyscrapers in the world in this thing, and they wouldn't even reach the top. You know, they could fit completely in it. The Empire State Building, you know, the Eiffel Tower, all these things just would be swallowed by it. So, you know, it's just really, really huge. And everybody that goes there from all walks of life, you know, have their own idea. I remember there was a minister from some chapel or something that was coming through leading people, and he was from Kansas, and he talks about how it's just like God stuck his fingers into the ground, you know. So there's all these weird ideas, and then there's people that talk about how, you know, it was a meteorite impact, and which it's not, and you know, or people can talk about where the, you know, the volcanoes exploded and came out, and that's not the case. And so there's all these, you know, it's such a dramatic place that it's easy for people to come up with these spectacular ideas as to how they form, because it must be spectacular because it's just so amazing and immense in its size. So it's just been interesting over the years to hear all these opinions, and, you know, aliens living in the bottom of spaceships down there, and all kinds of weird ideas.
So how did it really form? What's the geologic explanation?
Sistema Zacatón is a very interesting karst system of sinkholes and caves. And the way that they formed is a result of groundwater interacting with magma and lava that's underground, associated with a volcanic area that was active about 500,000 to 250,000 years ago. And during this time, as the water interacted with these hot rocks, they introduced elevated levels of carbon dioxide and hydrogen sulfide. And these elevated levels of these gases make the water more acidic and very aggressive. So when you're in an environment with this acidic groundwater and it's surrounded by a soluble rock such as limestone, this acidic groundwater can dissolve away large caverns and caves very deep in the subsurface. And as these caverns get large enough and develop towards the surface, they eventually will collapse through and form these huge sinkholes. So that's kind of in a nutshell how the caves formed.
And why is it so scientifically significant now?
I'm just going to speak relative to my area of specialty, which is in geosciences. It is a very isolated, small system that has a huge number of features and characteristics that can address questions such as climate change and understanding the morphology and the date, the geochemistry of the formation of some of these rocks. It has significance as to what are the fundamental geological processes that form huge cave systems like this. So it's kind of like a natural laboratory that's small and isolated, but immense. And it's like everything is just amplified. And it's amplified so much that at first glance you can't even comprehend all the things there, because you're overwhelmed by the immensity, and there's, and that you kind of you don't look at the things up close, and we're just now starting to do that. We teamed up with Bill Stone and people at the University of Texas and robotics engineers at Carnegie Mellon, and we came up with this concept of DepthX, or the Deep Phreatic Thermal Explorer. And originally the idea was just to take technology and underwater mapping technology and put it in a context that exceeded human limits of exploration. So, and Zakatoon was the perfect place for it. It's the deepest underwater sinkhole in the world. It's the second deepest underwater cave in the world. So it's a great environment. Now, as we looked a little more deeply into this and looked at interest from people like NASA who were interested in maybe exploring other environments for life on other planets, the things that they're interested in are microbial life. And it just so turned out that Zakatoon and the other cenotes of Sistema Zakatoon are host to huge communities of very unique microbial life. So what we did is we combined this kind of quest for exploration to go places where no man has gone before and developing technologies to do that with this search for life on other planets. And that whole concept came to fruition with the DepthX.
So can I ask you to kind of pause and tell me a little bit about why is there this quest to go where no man has ever gone before?
That's a tough question. You know, why did people come to the Western Hemisphere, you know, tens of thousands of years ago? You know, maybe it's just human nature to always look for the unknown. Personally, it's curiosity is what drives me to study these systems and to use your imagination to generate questions and problems, and then figure out how to answer those questions and to solve those problems, to discover the unknown.
That was Marcus Gary speaking with Lindsay Patterson. I'm Jorge Salazar, and this has been an Earth and Sky presentation.
We're at earthsky.org.